Our text this morning is 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 3. I am quoting the Message, Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of this passage. The first thing I want you to do is pray. Pray every way you know how for everyone you know. Pray especially for rulers and their governments to rule well, so that we can be quietly about our business of living simply and humbly. For this is the way our Savior God wants us to live. You may recognize this passage as one you have heard recently. Pastor Steve quoted this passage from the Message last month. Early last month, Pastor Steve preached a sermon on the five transformational disciplines. He called these necessary disciplines for mature disciples of Jesus Christ. Prayer is one of the necessary disciplines for a mature disciple of Christ. 1 Timothy is a letter Paul wrote to Timothy. In the letter, Paul encourages Timothy. He also instructs Timothy on various topics. Paul had sent Timothy to Ephesus to deal with some false teaching in the Ephesian church. In addition, Paul writes instructions that apply to the church as well as to Timothy. This morning's text is part of Paul's guidelines for public worship. And worship, as we learned last month, is another of the five transformational disciplines. The first three verses of 1 Timothy 2 are instructions on how to pray. They are a prayer primer. Countless books have been written on prayer, and Paul is known for his at times long instructions and explanations. However, here Paul is brief. Paul gives Timothy and the Ephesian church the basics of prayer in three short verses. Note how important prayer is. Paul begins his primer on prayer with these words: "The first thing I want you to do is pray." This is not the approach many of us take. Too often, prayer is our last resort. We have a problem or are in a sticky situation. We sit down, or maybe we pace back and forth, and try to figure out how to solve the problem, how to negotiate the sticky situation. We may even come up with a plan of action. We put the plan into effect. It doesn't work. Then we say, "Well, I guess the only thing we can do now is pray." We could save ourselves a lot of frustration and maybe even heartache by praying first, not last. So, back to verse 1. Pray every way you know how. How many ways are there to pray? Now, some of you are already getting ahead of me, and you're ticking off the ways you can pray. You can pray standing up. You can pray sitting down. You can pray kneeling. You can pray lying prostrate on the ground. You can pray with your eyes open. You can pray with your eyes shut. Or you can pray hanging upside down and holding on for dear life after slipping off the roof while winterizing your swamp cooler. I hate to disappoint you, but I'm not going to fill you in on the benefits of these ways to pray. The Bible contains many prayers that were prayed by many people. We learn how to pray from these prayers, and we learn different ways to pray from these prayers. Paul's letters contain some of the prayers he prayed. In his letter to the church at Ephesus, Paul includes an important instruction on how to pray. Pray at all times and on every occasion in the power of the Holy Spirit. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all Christians everywhere. Ephesians 6:18, the New Living Translation. When we pray, we should pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. How do we pray in the power of the Holy Spirit? This is what I do. When I begin my day, one of the first things I do is to invite the Holy Spirit to control my mind and thoughts. Now, knowing that God is controlling my mind and thoughts, I can confidently pray for other people, starting with the church. We can learn how to petition God for our church from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians 1:16-20. This is a prayer Paul consistently prayed for the church at Ephesus. We can use this prayer to pray for Living Hope Church. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light, so that you can understand the wonderful future He has promised to those He called. I pray that you will begin to understand the incredible greatness of His power towards those who believe Him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated Him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. In our petitions to God for Living Hope Church, ask Him to open our minds and spirits to know God personally and intimately. Ask God to help us grasp clearly the glorious life He intends for us to live. Ask that Living Hope Church will begin to understand that God is willing to use the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead, that awesome power, to help us every day. All we need do is ask. Ephesians 3:14-19 is another petition that Paul prayed for the Ephesian church as a whole. When I think of the wisdom and scope of God's plan, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the Creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, He will give you mighty inner strength through His Holy Spirit. And I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts as you trust in Him. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love really is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is so great, you will never fully understand it. Then you will be filled with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. When you pray for our church, ask God to give you and others in our church an inner strength. Pray for inner strength to stand up to Satan and refuse to believe his lies. Pray for inner strength to think and do what is right, to not cave into temptation. Pray that Living Hope Church will understand and experience the love of Christ. These prayers of Paul are models we can use and adapt to pray for Living Hope Church and the church at large. The book of Psalms contains models of other ways to pray. For example, Psalm 5, a psalm of David, is a cry to God, a plea for him to help David, who is being attacked by enemies. O Lord, hear me as I pray. Pay attention to my groaning. Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God. For I will never pray to anyone but you. God gladly hears us when we call out to him and cry for his help. He is glad to help us whatever our need is. Sometimes the best prayer we can pray is, "Help me, God!" Another way to pray is to use God's promises. Here is how Moses prayed using one of God's promises. Moses was on Mount Sinai receiving instructions from God. Then God told Moses that the Israelites had made an idol shaped like a calf. He told Moses to go down the mountain. Exodus 32, 9 through 14 picks up the story. Then the Lord said, "I have seen how stubborn and rebellious these people are. Now leave me alone so my anger can blaze against them and destroy them all. Then I will make you, Moses, into a great nation instead of them." But Moses pleaded with the Lord his God not to do it. "O Lord," he said, "why are you so angry with your own people, whom you brought from the land of Egypt with such great power and mighty acts? The Egyptians will say, 'God tricked them into coming to the mountains so he could kill them and wipe them from the face of the earth.' Turn away from your fierce anger. Change your mind about this terrible disaster you are planning against your people." Now here is where Moses uses God's promise. "Remember your covenant with your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You swore by your own self, 'I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars of heaven.' Yes, I will give them all of this land that I have promised to your descendants, and they will possess it forever." So the Lord withdrew his threat and didn't bring against his people the disaster he had threatened. The Bible contains many other promises God has made. These are promises we can and should claim when we pray. For example, in Matthew 6, 32-33, God promises to provide us with food and clothes. "Your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. And He will give you all you need from day to day if you live for Him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. In praying every way we know how, we've seen how we should pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. We've also seen how to petition for our church. We've seen that we can plead to God for His help. And we've seen how we can remind God of His promises when we pray. Another way to pray is to intercede for other people. When we intercede, we intervene on behalf of someone else. One of the best-known examples of intercessory prayer in the Old Testament is Abraham's intercession for the city of Sodom. This is recorded in Genesis 18, 23 through 32. The Lord has told Abraham that He has heard that the people of Sodom and Gomorrah are extremely evil. He plans to go see if it's true. Listen to Abraham's prayer for the city of Sodom. Abraham approached him and said, "Will you destroy both innocent and guilty alike? Suppose you find 50 innocent people there within the city. Will you still destroy it and not spare it for their sakes? Surely you wouldn't do such a thing, destroying the innocent with the guilty. Why, you would be treating the innocent and guilty exactly the same. Surely you wouldn't do that. Should not the judge of all the earth do what is right?" And the Lord replied, "If I find 50 innocent people in Sodom, I will spare the entire city for their sake." Then Abraham spoke again, "Since I have begun, let me go on and speak further to my Lord, even though I am but dust and ashes. Suppose there are only 45. Will you destroy the city for the lack of 5? And the Lord said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45. Then Abraham pressed his request further. "Suppose there are only 40. And the Lord replied, "I will not destroy it if there are 40. "Please don't be angry with me, Lord," Abraham pleaded. "Let me speak. Suppose only 30 are found." And the Lord replied, "I will not destroy it if there are 30. Then Abraham said, "Since I have dared to speak to the Lord, let me continue. Suppose there are only 20. And the Lord said, "Then I will not destroy it for the sake of the 20. Finally, Abraham said, "Please, Lord, do not get angry. I will speak but once more. Suppose only 10 are found there." And the Lord said, "Then, for the sake of the 10, I will not destroy it." Whew. Do any of us approach the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords with such boldness? I must admit, I don't intercede for other people so boldly. Yet God was not upset with Abraham for pressing him time and again in his attempt to save the home of his nephew Lot. Perhaps we should take a lesson from Abraham when we intercede for other people. I want to mention one more way to pray. This is a way to pray when we don't know what we should pray or how we should pray. Paul describes in Romans 8, 26 and 27 what happens when we find ourselves in that situation. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. At times, I know I should pray for someone, but I don't know how to pray for that person. When this happens, I imagine holding up that person to God. Sometimes that's all I do. I don't say anything. Sometimes I say, "Here is Dan, Lord. You know what he needs right now. Please give him what he needs." As we have seen, there are quite a few ways to pray. And we have models from the Bible that show us how to pray. So, pray every way you know how. Next in Paul's prayer primer is to pray for everyone you know. That's a pretty tall order. Let's see if we can sort this out. We can start with family. After all, these are people we know pretty well. We can pray for our family members very specifically. Next are our friends. We can begin with those closest to us and work our way out to those we know less well. We pray as specifically as we can for each person. At times, God may put into our minds what we should pray for regarding certain people. Then there is our church family, some we know better than others. And we get specific prayer requests through the prayer chain and during Sunday morning services. We can also use Paul's prayers for the Ephesian church in chapters 1 and 3 that I read to you earlier. Use these scriptures to pray for Living Hope Church. Don't forget our brothers and sisters throughout the world. Pray especially for the persecuted church in China, Russia, North Korea, and countries in the Middle East. We need to include missionaries in our prayers. Again, start with those you know or with those God has laid on your heart, then work your way out to those you don't know as well. Our neighbors need our prayers also. We should bring our co-workers and classmates, even our teachers, to God in prayer. Finally, don't forget to pray for people in your circle of acquaintances whom you may not like, or those who don't like you. In school or on the playground, they may be bullies. So you pray every way you know how for everyone you know. Next, Paul instructs Timothy and the church at Ephesus to pray especially for rulers and their governments to rule well. Let me give you some background here. In his letter to the Romans, Paul states that everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. Romans 13:1. Nero was the ruler of the Roman Empire at this time. This is the man who later set fire to Rome so he could build a bigger and better city. To divert suspicion from himself, he accused the Christians of burning Rome. Many Christians were arrested and put to death in unspeakably cruel ways. Some were crucified. Others were thrown to wild beasts. Some were tied to stakes in Nero's gardens. Pitch was poured over them. Their burning bodies were used as torches to light Nero's gardens at night. This is the man who was the ruler of the government when Paul wrote his letters to Timothy. Definitely not a nice man. Certainly not someone who was sympathetic to Christians. Yet Paul instructed Timothy and the Ephesian Christians to pray for rulers and their governments to rule well. He did not say, "Pray that God will overthrow this evil man and put a God-fearing man in power." So how does this instruction apply to us today? Simply, we are to pray regularly for rulers and their governments to rule well. Pray for the mayor and city council of Grand Junction to rule well. Pray for the governor of Colorado and the state legislators to rule well. Pray for our representatives and senators to rule well. Pray for all the members of the House of Representatives and U.S. Senate to rule well. Pray for our president and his cabinet to rule well. Obviously, we are under a much different type of government than Paul, Timothy, and the Ephesians were when Paul wrote these instructions. Note that Paul was not telling these people to accept the status quo. He was telling them to pray for God's involvement in the lives and decisions of their rulers. We are not to be apathetic observers of our city, state, or national governments. We are to pray for those who have positions of leadership over us. Pray that these people will look to God for wisdom and direction. Pray that God will give these leaders a desire for Him and His truth. In election years, learn about the candidates who are up for election. Bring them and any other issues on the ballot before God. Ask God to make clear to you how you should vote, and then vote accordingly. After the election, recognize and accept that those in positions of authority have been placed there by God, and pray for these people to rule well. We benefit when rulers and their governments rule well. When rulers and their governments rule well, we are able to live simply in humble contemplation. What does this mean? It means we aren't distracted by political unrest or religious persecution. We can go about our lives quietly enjoying and obeying God and proclaiming the good news. This is the way our Savior God wants us to live. To sum up, Paul's prayer primer consists of the following. Pray first. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. Pray every way you know how. Pray for everyone you know. Pray especially for rulers and their governments to rule well. I want to close by praying another prayer, this one from Paul's letter to the Philippians. This is my prayer, that your love will flourish and that you will not only love much, but well. Learn to love appropriately. You need to use your head and test your feelings so that your love is sincere and intelligent, not sentimental gush. Live a lover's life, circumspect and exemplary, a life Jesus Christ will be proud of, bountiful in fruits from the soul, making Jesus Christ attractive to all, getting everyone involved in the glory and praise of God. Philippians 1:9-11, the Message.